will take you once again to state capitals all across America right now as work continues to prepare for the threat of violence in the coming days. And joining us now to talk about security is J.J. Green, national security correspondent at WTOP News there in D.C. J.J., you're quickly becoming one of our favorite and most utilized guests here at News Nation for your expertise. Thanks for sharing your time once again tonight. Personal question first. You live in Metro D.C., so as a resident, what are you seeing? What are you feeling? Describe D.C. for those of us not there tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Rob, Joe, and Marnie for having me again. It's really strange. I've been deployed overseas to Iraq and Afghanistan, to Baghdad and Kabul and other places in the Middle East for many years, and have seen this 100 times if I've seen it once. But seeing it here has just unnerved me to the point where I'm thinking about it more. I'm thinking about, well, how did we get here? And where are we going to go from here? What are we going to do in the meantime? Luckily, I mean, for me, there are answers because I know where to go to get them. But for the average person that doesn't know, you know, where these resources are, I imagine it's pretty troubling for them. But to see these many troops in the nation's capital guarding the Capitol building is really, really difficult to kind of stomach at this point and swallow.
And seeing D.C. kind of in this fortress-like mode right now, how much of it do you think is because the threat is actually that high, or perhaps there's some attempt at redemption here for the massive security breach we saw on the 6th?
I think it's a little bit of both, Rob, because here's what we're facing right now. An investigation that's about a week old, a little bit more than a week, and still fresh in the minds of everybody who watched it, and certainly those people who were in the middle of it in the Capitol. And of course, the security agencies and intelligence agencies that were supposed to prevent this from happening and protect people from it. You know, it's a situation now they are really trying to figure out the path forward. And when you think about where they are right now, the idea that they're dealing with this a few days before an inaugural and they're not quite sure how bad it could be or, you know, how long it could last, it's difficult for them. And what's happening for them is they recognize that they can't allow anything remotely close to what took place on the 6th to happen again. Now, when you talk about an inauguration, something that's been planned for more than a year, and when you talk about the multiple layers of resources available, you have police, you have federal law enforcement, you have military, Coast Guard, you have resources in the air, on the ground, and on the sea as well. You know, it's really not likely anything would happen, but they just don't want anything to leave anything to chance.
And JJ, the Washington Post reporting tonight in an exclusive that Capitol Police warned 3 days before the attack, so the 3rd, that Congress itself could be targeted, an apparent warning that was not heeded. What do you make of that? What went so wrong here?
You know, the last couple of days I've spent talking to Secret Service or former Secret Service people, current law enforcement personnel here in Washington and in places around the country. And the most telling piece of that puzzle to me is that I spoke today with Brian Moran, who is the Secretary of Public Safety and Homeland Security in Virginia. And he said, we knew weeks ago that this was likely to happen in some way in some form. But still, this intelligence information didn't make its way to the people that needed to know it in Washington. He and his team there in Virginia, you know, the FBI in Virginia, they were aware of this. And, you know, I'm not quite sure where or how this got lost. One former Secret Service official told me that this was both a security and an intelligence failure. Somewhere along the way, this information got stovepiped or something like that. And that is the most difficult thing for the law enforcement establishment here to deal with right now, because after 9/11, they thought that they had dealt with that. But we need to remember that that was 20 years ago that happened. A lot of people have retired. A lot of people have moved on. A lot of people have forgotten what we went through after 9/11. So here we are again with the domestic version of it.
It's just a stunning breakdown. Literally 10 seconds, I have to ask, do you think they should move the inauguration ceremony indoors, and do you think they actually will?
No, not at all. And the reason for it is because they want to show that they're not afraid. They want to show that it's secure. They want to show as well that this is still America. And we don't want to do that here. That's what they've been saying. And you know, I agree with that. I think that's, you know, what they should do.
JJ, as always, thank you for joining us and for all of your expertise and insight. I'm sure we will be talking again soon. You have a busy few days ahead of you like we do here. Thanks so much again.
Thank you, Rob.
Joe?
Inauguration Day, of course, is Wednesday, and you'll be able to watch the full event from start to finish right here on News Nation. I'll be live in Washington along with four of our correspondents. We'll be spread out across the city. Our coverage begins at 11 a.m., 10 Central. We have